But as we just, as I mentioned, Pastor David Cordo's message, there was something about him bringing back to the present the story of his life, the story of how he saw over and over God's hand upon his life and how he was preserved for a purpose, for a reason, to preach his gospel. And as I just began to think about the testimony and how that has so much power, so many people were powerfully touched. We saw people get healed. We saw people just kind of get their spirit lifted up that, you know what? I can get through this. I can move past this. I can get to the next place. That there's something about our testimony, and I know that if there's something powerful in our life as believers, there's two people that know about that. God knows it, and he's given it to us to use for his glory, but there's also someone else called the enemy of our soul who wants us to either forget about it or just not use it or abandon it or whatever, but or misuse it. But the fact is, there's something about our testimony that's powerful. And what is your testimony? It's just calling to memory the stuff that God has already accomplished, those times and moments in your life when he's done something amazing that's transformed you and grown you in some way into the person that you are today. That's the word of our testimony. The Bible's clear. That's the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Those two things the enemy does not have an answer for. So what do you think he's going to go after? He's going to go after our memory. He's going to go after those times when God's been faithful and get us to just focus on the immediate need or the immediate crisis and forget about all those times he's already shown he's faithful to us. He's already blessed us. He's already delivered us. He's already saved us and called us with a holy calling. All these things he's done. But if we can, if the devil can just, or just life can get us engaged in a foxhole in a moment of time where we're just feeling overwhelmed, we can abandon the testimony and the stories of God's faithfulness, which is what makes us strong. And so as I just was listening to that message and forgiveness and the intentionality of forgiveness, and then also today my wife just feeling led to speak more about forgiveness and how it's not about forgetting everything that happened. Those events don't necessarily go away, but the way you remember them changes. The way you recall them, when you recall them, you remember the forgiveness that was brought to it. And so it doesn't have the same sting and pain as it used to, because you remember, oh, that feeling that came when I forgave, that's what I now have when I look back at that event. But it comes through remembering, and it comes through remembering correctly. And part of what I think we're in a crisis of, just as advanced Westerners, is that the pace of life is so intense, it's so crazy, that our processing instrument, our brain, the organ that's designed to electronically manage all the systems of our body, the poor thing is just inundated with so much information that there's just things that get pushed to the side and we forget about. In the natural realm, I mean, people forget their car keys. I mean, you're going for a drive. I do it. That's why car keys is a big one for me, because we don't keep them in the car. We try to keep them in a drawer because multiple people use it. And so my wife and I have this one drawer. The keys go in there. How many times I go to use it, I get in, sit down, buckle up. Maybe I forget to do that. But I get in the car and where's the keys? And you go back and one of the kids needs something. Oh, I forgot to finish making my coffee. You grab your coffee, you go back and you still don't have the keys. I'm probably telling you too much about my life already. So 5 minutes later, you start the car and you go down the driveway. You know, but because we're just processing so much, there's just only so much a computer. You know, if you just kind of just keep hitting opening files and opening apps and stuff on a phone or a computer, eventually it's going to crash. It just can't process all the information at the same time. And some stuff's going to get forgotten. Some stuff's going to go by the wayside. And the crazy thing is that the stuff we often forget is the stuff that's most important in the spirit reality of what I'm going to talk about. In the natural world, maybe it's just your keys or your coffee or whatever, but you know, I mean, with children, it affects them too. It's not just, you know, we know old timers and Alzheimer's, and we kind of think, oh, memory loss and severe memory loss, that's all for old people. But I mean, even children, they got their brains are working great. They're brand new out of the box, right? They're just, but what, you know, did you put your clothes in the dryer yet? No, I forgot. You know, did you brush your teeth? No, I forgot. Did you put your dish in the sink after you ate it? No, I forgot. Did you finish your dusting? The chores that you give them? No, I forgot. No matter what it is, I forget. It just becomes part of our lives from childhood. You know, thankfully, eventually they grow up and they don't forget those things anymore. You know, they remember to put their clothes on, or at least their underwear before their clothes and all that stuff, you know. I mean, hopefully we all grew up past that point, but, you know, scary thought. You know, we remember our clothes every day, yeah. Right? Why? Some people just have a funny smile when I said that. If you're not remembering to put your clothes on, I mean, that might be, you probably need help. Because it's so important. I mean, I still had, do you have those dreams? And you go to, you're in school or whatever, and you forgot your clothes. At least usually for me, I have my tidy whiteys on. Like as kids, my mom would let us run around the house like at 6, 7 years old, whatever, as little boys. And after shower, we didn't have air conditioning, so we're going to eat dinner, and it was hot. Just, you know, we were fine in our tidy whiteys. And I still, in high school, I have memories, and I mean, they're called nightmares for a reason. It's not a dream about not having clothes. It's a nightmare about not having clothes in school. But it's every day. There's things that we have to do. There's things that we don't forget, like put our clothes on. But there's some things that we do forget simply because in the moment, we just might not feel the importance of it. But when you're sitting in your car with no keys, you discover those keys are very important. You can't go forward without them. And so I want to just address this issue of memory, because I feel like as we've gotten more fast-paced, memory and remembering things and memorials and all that kind of stuff, it seems to have lost some of its importance and significance. You know, there's those dinner table conversations of grandfathers and grandmothers telling the stories of when they learned how to drive and they did those things and how their faith was grown. Like we've lost so much of that in the live by the moment, by the seat of your pants, keeping up with just the social media apps that we've got to keep up with our notifications on. It's crazy. I mean, I need reminders for everything. I don't know what I did before I had reminders on my calendar. First of all, before I had a Google Calendar, I have no idea how I live. I had little post-it notes, and you find them in your pocket, put them on a steering wheel. I remember how I used to try to do it, but now, you know, we've got reminders for everything, and you can still forget. I'll like snooze a reminder and forget that I snoozed it, and the next thing you know, I forgot something. I mean, or you forget to reset a reminder when you take an appointment, right? You took the appointment, but you forgot to put the reminder button, so now you don't get a reminder and you forget it anyway. But it's just this increase in information and technology. We forget a lot of things, and it's not because we're bad people. We're going to look in the scripture and discover that God's people forgot all the time. Jesus' disciples forgot things. There was stuff that was forgotten and gone by the wayside throughout. And as I just listened to to Pastor David's testimony and just his ability to remember and to recall and just felt the power of that, I thought, God, how much is it that you've done in our lives collectively that we've got to be in a moment-by-moment basis willing to not just call to memory, but to give thanks for and to begin to praise him for and begin to pray about, and so that we don't forget the things that are most important. You know, like our children and, you know, home alone, right? And you forget the kid home. And three, so good, so connected with the audience that they made three of them, right? I forgot them three times. Was it three or two?
Three.
I mean, it's pretty bad. If you get by the third time, I think I'd just say, yeah, I was right the first time. They don't love me. And my suspicions were correct. But we can connect with that. Everyone can think, oh, that could happen to me. We think, oh, I would never forget one of my children. Well, we have 10 of them, and, you know, we didn't forget them. You still know you have them, but in a certain location, you might leave that location, and they weren't with you. I mean, it could have happened. It could have happened to us. I'm not going to give details, but, you know, it can happen to anybody. You know, but you're pulled in 10 ways. I mean, your brain's only going to process so much. It doesn't make you a bad person or a bad parent. It's just the reality of where we live. Life and the cares of this life creep in. And if we're not intentional about really focusing and remembering the stuff that's important, it's amazing how important some of the things are that we'll forget. Like silencing our phones, right? Sorry, couldn't resist. The person next to you, whoever it was thinking it, so I just said it. It's funny. My kids never asked for one of those dolls that, you know, you give it a bottle and then it comes out the other end and it cries, you know, every so often, and you got to like pat its back. You know, those really expensive dolls. My kids never asked for one. I don't know why. Maybe it's because they always had, you know, a real live living one to play with. They never needed any fancy battery-powered dolls to kind of entertain them and keep track of them. If they wanted to change a diaper, we had no problem saying, here you go, you know. And it's even going to smell a little bit, too. But, you know, it's just the nature of life. You don't have to have 10 children to have a crazy life. Just your job, the relationships, keeping up with things, hobbies, and everything else that we do. We jam into our 24-hour days. It's overwhelming. And so I want to just think about some of the things that we need to make sure that by faith in the spirit realm, we don't forget. And I'm just trying to stay focused here. Because I love the fact that God doesn't just highlight our issues, and he's not just aware of our weaknesses, but he gives us tools. He gives us ways of making sure we overcome them. You know that we're all overcomers through what Jesus Christ is. We're all more than overcomers. That's what the Bible reveals, that Jesus overcame. We're more than conquerors. We're not just getting by like it feels sometimes. He actually has a view of our lives that sees us conquering over the things that are trying to take us out. He sees us in victory over those things. He sees us taking that victory to other people. And so some of the things that I think we can look at this morning as we just explore this idea of forgetfulness. And no, I didn't forget Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to go back to that probably next week. But I just felt like this was something that the Spirit wanted me to bring to what we're doing. Because God understands there's consequences to the things that we forget. If we look at the Israelites, they forgot how many times the goodness of God. They forgot the faithfulness. We'll read some of those scriptures. But there's consequences to forgetting things in the natural. Did you ever forget a birthday? If it's someone close to you and you forget the wrong birthday, that can have a sting to it. First of all, they feel like, man, they forgot the day I was born. Maybe they forgot me too. And we can get personal about these things. But I mean, what's the worst thing you can do to an anniversary? It's not go to the wrong restaurant or buy the wrong flowers. It's to forget it. If you forget one of those dates, it's all of a sudden. I saw a couple of the husbands looked over at wives and thought, wait, when is it again? Sorry, John, I saw you do it. You know, our lives, but that's an expensive blunder. You know, flowers and pedicures and manicures and chocolates and whatever else you, and even then you might not still come back out in good standing, you know, but it's something that we're expected to remember certain things, or people get let down. They get disappointed. They feel like, hey, maybe I'm less important to this person than I really should be. And they take offense and it's insulting. But God also has this ability to know that when we forget Him, there's something broken in our connection. And He wants us to have the tools to be able to remember those things. And so let's just start in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. Because God's people have always struggled to remember the faithfulness and the love of their Creator. It says, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you didn't build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells. Back then they had to dig them by hand. You didn't have big machines to do it. You dug 30, 40 feet down. Hewn out wells which you didn't have to dig, vineyards and olive trees which you didn't plant. When you have eaten and you are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Do you imagine? God's preempting them, saying, I know I'm going to bless you guys to the max. It's going to blow your minds. You're going to live in places and enjoy the luxury of those places, and you didn't even have to build them. If you think about living in America, every single one of us, that's our experience. You were born as a baby. You were cared for in a heated, cooled, fresh watered, warm bath water home, and you did nothing except just be born. So he's writing to people that are in the wilderness. They're in a hard place, but he's about to make all the provision. We're just born into it. You know, we get a little rash or something as a baby, and that's our worst experience, you know? And we're born into this place of having so much, but if the stories are gone, if the memories and the memorials and the reminders are removed from our lives of how it is that we were given and blessed to live in this land, then all of a sudden there's this complaining that kicks in. There's all this selfishness that comes into play. There's a loss of perspective because we lost where we came from. We lose the sacrifice of the men and women. We lose sight of it. We don't forget that it happened. We know maybe there's a date on a calendar when this war ended and that war started, and we maybe got some history lessons growing up. But as far as our emotional experience, we've not lived through those things, and they're easy to forget. Not that they happen, but to forget what it means for how we ought to live now, because we've inherited such a great blessing to be able to have all these things. We didn't build the homes that we're born into. Our parents did. But he's writing this so that there would be a preemptive reality, a reminder that this is what's going to happen to you guys. Be careful that it doesn't. Psalm 78 says, they didn't remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. If you look at the history of the Jewish people, it's a repetitive thing, but I wonder if it could happen to us as well. So we're looking at three things that can help us not forget what's really, really important. The first we're going to look at is in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. It says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today. So if you just look at that, and just flip it around. Let's just look at it slightly mixed up. It says that God's given them commandments to do, right? But he's saying, don't forget the Lord your God. Be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. There, what's actually happening is he's saying, I'm giving you these commandments, and if you're engaged in doing them, you won't forget me. But if you stop doing them, you're going to forget me. Love God, love your neighbor. Simple, it sounds so simple to do. But guess what's going to happen? As soon as you start to do that, you're going to realize, I need his help to do it. I need the Spirit's help to do it. And so by following and being obedient, obedience and being obedient to God's commandments is part of the way that he has put in place a method that we could remember who he is, because we're created for that continuous connection through just being obedient. Did you ever get an assignment or have a chore given to you, maybe by a parent? I know my dad used to give us the project on Saturdays of, hey, we got wood outside. The furnace is inside, it's in the basement. The wood from the outside needs to get inside because he's not going to walk in and out every time he needs to get wood. So we'd load it all up in the basement. And it'd be like, okay, this window that we go through, you can only fit so much through, and then the floor gets filled up. Fill it all up. Gravity's on your side, you just throw in pieces in. It's not a big deal unless it's hot out and it's sticky and you just want to be done. But the whole time you want to just walk away and be like, oh, I did enough. You remember, he said, fill it all the way up until no more will fit. And so you go back and you throw a few more pieces in, and you're like, oh man, when he comes and looks at this, is this going to be enough? Is he going to say, all right, job done, or I'm going to be out riding a dirt bike or doing something fun that I really want to do, and then I'm going to, you know, see my dad there waving, and I'm going to be back at the wood pile, putting more wood in there because I didn't do it right the first time. But you see how in doing the project or the chore, I'm constantly aware of the fact that it was given to me by my dad to do. I'm aware of the fact that he's my dad. I'm aware that he's in charge. He's the one that gets to decide when the job is done and when it's done right. The same thing in college. I had an English professor, and she was a young professor and just a few years older than me. And you know, I just remember every assignment that I was given to write for English Lit, every single one. You're writing a paper. I couldn't write a single sentence without this subconscious thought in my mind of what she's going to think when she reads it and grades the paper. I'm trying to write in a way, because she gave me the assignment, I know she's going to grade the assignment, and it affected everything. I would try to just write objectively and forget, just treat it as its own thing, but you can't. The whole time, and it applies to everything that we do. Terry, you're a hairdresser. The whole time you're cutting that hair, it's not just what you think as you're doing the project. It's like, what are they going to think when they're done? You're doing it for them. It's an assignment they've given you, and they're paying you for it, and you're doing it the whole time thinking, I hope they like it. I hope they like it. I hope this is what they wanted. I hope this is the color that they liked, right? In doing the commandment that they gave you, in doing the assignment that was brought to you, it connects you to that person and to the fact that they're the ones that issue the approval of whether it was done right or not. And so when God says, don't forget my commandments, my judgments, and my statutes, he's not just trying to give us something to memorize that we can just, you know, say, oh, I've memorized the whole Bible and I know it all. No, but he's saying, as you obey it and you live it out and you love your neighbor as yourself and you give sacrificially and you forgive people that you don't want to forgive because it just feels like it's your right to hold it against them. When you submit to his word and you do those things, it draws heaven into your existence. It brings God's presence into your world because you're simply obeying what he gave us to do. So it's not just giving a commandment to us just so that we'll be all goody, goody two-shoe people and the world can say, oh, look how good they are. They're so clean. The world's not impressed with how good we are as Christians. They're only concerned if we care for them or not. And as soon as they feel like, oh, this is just about them, this is just about the way that they get transported and how they feel so great about themselves, then guess what they're going to do? They're going to completely pull their hands off. They don't want anything to do with that. We're supposed to be in this world loving people, not of the world, but we're in it to make a difference. We're in it to connect. We're in it to bring the presence of God to them. But if we're not loving them the way that he said we are supposed to, then we're not fulfilling his commandments, and you can easily forget God in it. And all of a sudden, it becomes about us. I don't think they really appreciated what I did over there. I don't know. I made the best tray of pasta salad that anybody made. I tasted everybody's, and that was the best one there. Not a single person said, thanks. I'm glad you made that for us. You know, maybe I should find a church with people that are a little more thankful. That's not love. That's not sacrifice. That's not the love. Imagine Jesus on the cross, like, ah, they just don't seem to be appreciating me right now. So, God, just those 30,000 angels that we have, let's just try again another century. I'm just tired of all this. Love is not about us. It's about him and about loving people with his love through us. Freely we receive it, freely we give it. But when we do that, it's not just us trying to be good, so feel good about ourselves. It's because God knows if we'll obey his commandments, we won't forget him. We won't forget that there's a purpose that we're here, that there's a call with which we're called, that there's a reason for our existence on this earth simply by obeying his commandments. I believe he's actually after that, because we just already read how quickly people can forget all the great things that he does, and yet they've forgotten. Another way we can maintain our connection and not forget who God is through praise. In Psalm 103, 1 through 5, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." In the blessing of the Lord, in the forgetting not of his benefits, there is a youthfulness that can be restored. There's an energizing effect that comes into play when you choose not to forget how good God is. When you just remind your soul, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. He has done this. He has seen me. He's crowned me. He's healed me. He satisfies me. He's redeemed me from destruction." As soon as we remember all those things, it says our youth is renewed like an eagle's. That we can rise above everything that's trying to pull us down. The weight of this atmosphere of life on a broken planet where sin has corrupted the very thing that is called love, and yet it's not love anymore most of the time. God is saying, "I need a people who's going to demonstrate a selfless kind of love that's just giving, 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 forgiving, forgiving, even when they don't." But the only way we're going to remember that that's our assignment is if we're doing the stuff that he's told us to do. Loving him and loving each other. Praising him. Thanking him. Recalling to memory all of his benefits. Forget not all of his benefits. Another way we can do it is to simply talk about it. In Psalm 77:10, it says, "This is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds." It can be to yourself. It can be to somebody else. You can just walk, just drive along in your car, walk along on the sidewalk through a hallway in your house and just say, "God, you've done so much. I remember when it was nothing like this, and yet look how things have changed." Not that everything's perfect, but it's changing. You see progress. You look back and you remember. You call to memory. You don't forget. All of a sudden, there's this talking of his deeds, and it says that that's part of the way that we keep this connection. We remember. Willfully remembering, calling to memory. It's an act of the will. The things of the Lord, talking of his deeds, giving thankfulness to him for all that he's done, because thankfulness connects us. There was a gentleman at the parade as we went by, and so many people had gone up and just shaken his hand, said, "Thank you for your service." He had a POW flag. I'm not sure if any of you saw him, or maybe he's here today. I don't know. But anyway, the fact is, just so many people just saying, "Thank you for your service." Children, grown up, "Thank you for your service." I didn't get to see, but my sister was nearer the back, and as she came by, he just had tears rolling down his face. He's just overwhelmed. Why? Thankfulness builds a connection. When someone's truly thankful for a meal, when you thank your waitress for bringing your food out to you and for being so kind and polite, even though, whatever, probably if it's my table, my wife knows that I was, whatever, giving the waitress a hard time or something, because I'm always picking on them in a good way. But, you know, thanks for dealing with my husband, you know. But just this thankfulness, when you thank somebody, what happens? When someone thanks you for something that you do, what happens? You feel connected to them all of a sudden. You may even know them. You just feel a connection. When someone says, "Terry, you did a great job. The hair color is just like I wanted." You just want to give them a hug. Maybe you don't. I would if I was cutting somebody's hair and they said that. But thankfulness builds connection. This is all about staying connected. It's all about not forgetting. It's about remembering and choosing to remember. Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." When we're in a place of thankfulness, not just because everything that's going on is the way we want it to be, but because we remember that he's going to work it all together for good for those that love him, called according to his purpose, we choose to give thanks in the moments of our life so that we don't lose the remembrance of just how good he's been to us. Breaking off this forgetfulness about who God is part of something that we have to just come to terms with, that we're going to have to contend for. It's not automatic. Everything is decaying. Everything is just going backwards in this planet because sin entered it, and it's all dying. But God is the God of life, regeneration, and renewal. He wants new creation miracles to go out and join together and to begin to build a kingdom that's never going to have an end to it. He sees an eternal view. God's just getting fired up. He's just getting ready to launch us into the place He's prepared for us from the foundation of the world, that He wants us to see what's in front of us and not just what's behind us that pulls us backwards. He wants us to be able to build forward while everything's decaying against us. He wants to arise out of it and actually build on top of it. He's just getting excited. He sees a kingdom that's never going to end. This world just sees a kingdom that no matter what I do, I just can't seem to keep my head above water. And they're drowning in it because they don't know yet that God sees something different. He sees a future, but you won't see the future unless you can remember the things that He's already done. Jesus in John 14 says that the Holy Spirit was going to come in verse 26 to bring to your remembrance all the things that I have said to you. Jesus said when we take communion, what did He say? Do this in remembrance of me. You imagine He's telling His disciples, don't forget me. Don't forget about me. It must have sounded crazy to them. They were just walking with Him for 3 years. And He's saying, no, no, no. I know something about that thing up there. That without the Holy Spirit reminding you, without the Spirit continually bringing to your remembrance the command to love God and to love your neighbor, to serve and not to be served, then we're going to forget what it's all about and we'll build something that looks similar to it, but it won't actually be rooted and grounded on the love that it was supposed to be rooted and grounded on. How often should they do it? He said, do it as often as you eat it. Not communion. He's talking about the food. Of course, if they're taking communion, you're going to do this as often as you eat the communion. He's saying every time, why do you think people pray for meals? I think it's a good thing. We don't always, it's not a religious thing. Like if we forget, oh no, something, you know, God's going to like give us the runs or something. You know, it's not like that. Come on, Ortman, you got 1 minute left. You can do it. You can do it. It's because it reminds us of where it came from. Because it reminds us that He's a good God. There's people on this planet that they don't have food on their table or a table to put it on. There's masses of people who don't just eat with their hands. Why? Because it's just cultural. It would have been too much for them to just develop silverware and to build and to work with it, to clean it. They don't have water to clean it. So they just use their hands. I mean, this is just it's just cultural. But I'm just saying, we have it. We're born into such an amazing bounty here. It's amazing that it was after the bounty that He said, be careful that you're going to forget me. It wasn't in the hard times He said, be careful you don't forget me. They knew they needed Him there. But it's as we go past that, it's as we begin to grow and see that God is good. He says, even then we could forget Him. Every time that you eat of it, do it in remembrance of me. Don't forget, I'm Jesus. I came for you. Jesus is going someplace on a boat with His disciples in Matthew 16. And it says that they forgot to bring bread. And so Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we've taken no bread. But Jesus was aware of it, and He said to them, oh, you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you've brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 or how many baskets you took up, or the 7 loaves and the 4,000 people that were fed, how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you don't understand? I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they understood that He did not tell them to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But Jesus is saying, do you not yet understand or remember? Of course they remembered the event. They were there. It was their hands that carried the bread and the fish to everybody in the multitude of thousands of people. No rows and chairs. They're just out in the field. They had distributed it to everybody. Of course they remembered it, but they didn't remember what they were supposed to remember from the event. And that was when we're with Jesus, He has the answer for whatever we're facing. It doesn't matter if we've remembered to bring the bread. He is the one who's there. He'll supply it. He was disappointed because He wanted to move on to other things. He's like, okay, good, we got that out of the way. They know that they can trust me to provide natural stuff, even food, I can do it. So now let's move on to talking about the danger of the doctrine that's going to try to creep in and going to try to make them think that, well, they can add a little bit of works to the grace that I'm going to pour out upon them, and they're going to try to build a religion that's got some of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees in it. And so he wants to start preempting them to be able to build a kingdom and to launch a new church into a world that's going to be trying to corrupt it with religion and with works and with trying harder and you're not good enough. And he's trying to teach them this key component, and all of a sudden they're just focused on, oh, he just picking on us because we forgot to get the bread. It's not just remembering what happened, but how we remember what happened. It's how we give value to the events of our life. It's not just knowing that it happened. It's that knowing that it happened, and because it didn't happen the way it was going to happen, or because God moved, therefore I can trust him not only with this, but I can trust him with the next thing he wants to accomplish in my faith. And I feel like that's something that Peter talks about in 2 Peter 1:9. We'll just close with this thought. He says a whole bunch of things about people who are growing and maturing in faith. But then he talks about the people that don't have those things happening in their life. And he says, for he who lacks these things, these signs of maturity, they're short-sighted even to blindness. And they have forgotten, he has forgotten, that person has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. When we forget what Jesus has done, when we forget that we were all sinners saved by grace, something begins to creep in of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, where we just feel like, well, I think I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing more good than bad. You know, that's the vibe that you get out. Oh, I haven't killed anybody, didn't rob any banks. I'm doing more good than bad. They've adopted this new age kind of yin-yang thing, and they think that they're just going to stand before God and say, well, I did pretty good. I didn't do the bad stuff. I did some, but not too much. That there's... It has nothing to do with that. Jesus knows this is coming. He's trying to get them to realize it's not about your performance, but they're still stuck on the fact that they're just remembering that, oh, this event happened, but they didn't apply it and bring it forward to now what they can expect. Now we can expect that when we forget, God is still going to be faithful. If we forget our faith at home, God's going to give us the grace and the faith to get through this event, and we're going to celebrate and praise him and thank him the whole way through it. Because we're going to pray, we're going to praise, we're going to give thanks, we're going to remember and be obedient to his word so that we do get through. And I want to close, sorry, you said it last week, Pastor Dave, preacher can close as many times as he wants, right? I'll only do it just one more time. No, and I feel like this is something that I didn't get to the first service, but I feel like it's more important that I get to it now. And when we forget where our supply comes from, they didn't forget that they'd fed 4,000 to 5,000 people, but they forgot who did it. It wasn't them doing it. Somehow they had connected themselves. Like, oh, look at us. We're because probably the crowd's like, wow, who are these guys? They're like all magicians. No, it was Jesus who did it. But they forgot. Jesus is with us. We don't need to worry. It says that if we forget, I'm saying when we forget where our supply comes from, there's something that happens to us. And in Jeremiah 50, verse 6, this is what it says. My people have been lost sheep. They're shepherds. People say, well, people don't have shepherds. Like, it's a metaphor. He's using an illustration. Have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill, wandering. They have forgotten their resting place. When you forget that is Jesus, and when you have him, you've been cleansed from your old sins. You have rest and peace with God now. When you lose sight of that, there's a nearsightedness, a short-sightedness, even unto blindness, Peter says, that you just can't see where you're going. You can't think about helping someone else. A blind person is not trying to help someone else cross the street. They're just trying to get across themselves without dying. And Jesus wants us to be the ones that see, that watch and pray for our community. We watch and pray, as we talked about at the prayer meeting, as it came forth in prayer, that we don't just see, but that we pray those needs to the heart of the Father, that as we're doing this, we've got to be able to see it. If we're not looking for it, we won't see it. We'll just be short-sighted unto blindness because we've forgotten that he cleansed us from our old sins, not just for us, but so that we could then reach out and reach the world. It says, don't forget. I'm sorry, he says, they have forgotten their resting place. Folks, I think this applies to us. It says they're shepherds. Well, we don't have shepherds. Shepherd is someone that you follow. Who knows of a couple social media apps that people follow, right? How many followers do you have? Oh, he has this many. How many? Oh, wow. That's how many thousand followers? Wow. people are still leading people. It hasn't changed. The problem is they can't offer them peace. They can just offer them one more follower to add to their list of followers. But where are they leading them? Can they lead them to a peace that guards our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus? Can they lead them to a peace that passes understanding? Can they lead them to a resting place where their overworked minds and brains can plug in and get a full charge? No, they can't. They can just show them the next cool photograph or the next cool video or the next cool thing that's trending or the next thing that's about to become a next YouTube sensation. That's all that they can present, but there's no peace in it. And Jesus is saying, when it says the shepherds have led them astray, he's saying it through Jeremiah. He says, they've turned them, looking at all the mountains, the hills, they're going all through everywhere looking for this resting place, but they can't find it. They're going from mountains to hills. They've forgotten it. We forget where our peace comes from. We're in a world of hurt. And guess what our culture has done? They don't know where to find peace. Doctors are doing the best they can to try to prescribe it, but that's temporary at best. And then they're probably going to need something to help them sleep because that's got them, this part of their system overworked and that part's underworked. And so the next thing you know, people are just strung out. They're trying to find something because the people they're following, the voices of this age, this present evil age that we live in, has a lot of voices in it. And it's all trying to lead people into these places that are supposedly going to be wonderful, but it prophesies all these years before. This people that follows these shepherds who've led them astray, they have forgotten where to lay down and rest. They forgot that it was Jesus. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives." He gives a peace that comes when we remember His faithfulness. We remember, we choose not to forget that we have been cleansed from our old sins. It's been washed away as if it never happened. It's been just been completely removed from our account. Jesus' goodness has been given to our account. Folks, this morning, if you've never received that transaction, if you have never said, "Yes, I've asked for your forgiveness for my sins. Yes, I want to be cleansed. And yes, I want the Holy Spirit to live in me and to fill me up and to make me brand new and give me the ability to remember that I've been cleansed," then today is a good day for you to do that. It's as simple as a decision. You can make it in your own heart. You can just decide, "I need peace. The shepherds that have led my life, the voices that I've listened to, they've not brought me peace. They've said it's just beyond that hill. Oh, you're almost there. Go that mountain and the next hill. Then you're going to..." And they get there and it's not there. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you freely by remembering how good He is and how faithful He is." Folks, this morning, I wonder if we could just stand. My 1 minute has been 10 minutes, and so we'll close with prayer. Jesus, this morning, we don't ever want to forget your faithfulness, your benefits, or your commandments, Lord. Because when you commanded us to love you and to love our neighbor the way that you've loved us, it wasn't a suggestion, it was a commandment. Lord, you've also told us to go and to preach this good news of the kingdom. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'd just allow us to have a boldness, Lord, that goes beyond our fearfulness, our fear of forgetting. Lord, I'm just reminded that sometimes my greatest fear has been I was afraid I would stand up and I would forget what to say. And Lord, you encouraged your disciples. You said, "Don't worry about what to say. Don't even think about it. The Holy Spirit, He'll give you the words to say." Lord, this morning, we want to be a people that are just bold enough to step towards people, towards issues, and to just speak your love and to speak your grace into them, Father. We know that when we're doing those things, we won't forget you. God, we don't want to ever forget. Lord, this morning we remember that great sacrifice on that cross that cleansed us from all unrighteousness, that took an old, worn out vessel and made Him brand new, took out a heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh, took a corrupt, mortal body and gave it immortality. Father, we thank you for the eternal purpose that you have prepared for every single one of us. And Lord, this week, this day, Father, help us to be aware and mindful of our need to be obedient to your word, our need to know what it says. Lord, give us a thankful heart. We thank you that it's within your purpose, it's your will that we would be thankful. And so, Lord, we know you've given us a spirit of thanksgiving and praise. And Lord, Holy Spirit, you also would teach us to pray. In those times when we don't know how we ought to pray, you said that you, Holy Spirit, would teach us how and would help us to stay connected. So, Lord, as we go our ways today, we look for those who need an encouragement, need a word from you, need a healing in their body, need a touch on their mind, need a smile, need something that by your Spirit you would equip us to do, to give and to do. Lord, we just thank you that we are not our own, but we have been bought at a price. And Lord, we just surrender this morning, the rest of this week, the rest of this day to you. Use us, Father. Show us where we can be used. Help us to understand that we are your plan to reach this world. In Jesus' name.